The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
People still persecuted for simply what they believe? President Trump says so.
We are going to protect Christianity. And if you look what's going on, you look at the different places, and Christianity, it's under siege.
Breaking news on the global crisis of people persecuted for their faith, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Yeah, it's a brand new emphasis that in terms of regular updates I want to bring to you, friends, as part of what we do. Whether you listen to us through a radio broadcast or maybe a podcast that is posted after it airs, etc., one of the things that is increasingly on my heart, increasingly on my mind, is these hotspots across the globe. I have only been made aware of them because of the great work of organizations that I've had the privilege to work with in the past. And I'm very excited about a new opportunity with one of them in particular to really focus in and to help bring to your attention on a regular basis what is going on. And Joel Vanderspeck is the executive director of the U.S. operations for Christian Solidarity International, CSI, as you often hear me refer to them. Sometimes we help them raise money for the efforts that they're putting forward. But one of the things that they're doing 24/7, 365 is keeping their eye on what's going on. And so I thought it would be good to keep you posted on exactly what is happening with efforts to help those who are being persecuted simply for what they believe around the world. And Joel and Dr. John Eibner both have agreed to make these visits on a regular basis. Joel, welcome back to the Kevin McCullough microphone. It's good to have you.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
There's so many, and I asked your office to make me aware of the most important ones, and I got back, what looks like a term paper. I mean, and I don't say that flippantly, there are many places around the globe where persecution of Christians and some religious minorities that you help as well, but mostly we're focusing on Christians around the world because they are the worst. Are breaking out, and it's on multiple continents, and it's across every spectrum. Why do you think that is, Joel?
Well, there definitely is an uptick, Kevin, in the persecution against Christians around the globe, as you've noted in the document that I sent you. And I think it depends on the region. I mean, if you look at Asia right now, China being involved in massive new wave of persecution against Christians, they feel a threat that Christianity is growing in China. There's over 70 million Christians. By 2030, China is estimated to have more Christians than in the United States. And so the communist leaders are feeling a threat about the growth of Christianity. In the Middle East, of course, you have ISIS as a massive threat that they want to control and create a caliphate throughout the region. And then we have other regions, such as Nigeria, where you have two major Islamic groups, Boko Haram and the Fulani herdsmen, that are basically mimicking what's going on in the Middle East, trying to create a caliphate in Nigeria. And they're getting away with massive, large-scale attacks against Christians and no retaliation whatsoever from the government or anyone else.
Let's talk a little bit about how that all happens, and let's start right there in Nigeria, Joel. You were there last summer when one of the major attacks took place, but then over Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, there were additional attacks. Who was attacked? Who did the attacking? Why? And what was the response of the governments in the region?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you're right, Kevin. All right. Christmas, when Christians were celebrating the birth of Christ, Fulani Muslims were planning and carried out attacks against Christian villages in the central region of Nigeria. The Fulani militants, they're nomadic people group that take their cattle with them wherever they go, looking for pastoral lands for their cattle to graze on. They've used that as a front to create a jihad against Christians, hoping to create a caliphate, Islamic caliphate in that region. So they've been attacking since 2001. Over 60,000 Christians have been killed in the central region of Nigeria. and the attacks started happening again around Christmas time. A youth group was attacked on the way back from a national park, just going back to their home community. They were ambushed, and seven church members were killed. You have Fulani militants that are breaking down the doors of Christian homes in these villages and slaughtering people in the middle of the night, yelling Allahu Akbar, taking machetes and decapitating women and children. And then you have, like you said, Kevin, no one is retaliating, not one arrest by the government against the Fulani militants. Well, the president of Nigeria himself is a Fulani Muslim, so he himself is turning a blind eye towards the persecution of Christians in that country. So it's a massive issue right now.
And your colleague, Dr. Eibner, has tried to discuss this issue with the world governments. What has been the response from the UN and the U.S. and others?
Kevin, that's a sad thing. The UN has done nothing about the situation, the crisis in Nigeria for Christians. I mean, as you said, I was there on the ground this last summer where over 230 Christians were killed right around us. Thousands were fleeing these villages, and we had to help them. We were the only organization on the ground bringing immediate aid to thousands and thousands of displaced Christians, people that were absolutely terrorized and traumatized and suffering with machete wounds on their heads and backs, and children that we had to rush to the hospital. So the UN came. I saw the UN vehicle that arrived in the village. The gentleman wrote a few notes, took a report, and he left. I followed up with our partner on the ground. I said, what happened to the UN? He said, we contacted them again. He said, there's nothing that they can do. The UN can only get permission to work inside of the country, Kevin. So they go to the Nigerian government, president being a Fulani Muslim, and they say, no, sorry, there's no problem over there. So there's a massive denial. There's a cover-up. And then the UN can't go into that area because they only can go where they have permission. So that's where CSI comes in, because we do have partners on the ground. We do deliver the aid, and we go to places where no one else is actually working.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff that you guys did. And some of my listeners had the chance around Christmas time to help with those that were in that mold. And it's really a disturbing and discouraging thing to realize that that's only one small window of where things are happening. Let's talk a little bit about the Middle East. Since we are now discussing, at least the U.S. is pulling out of Syria and bringing all of our troops home, and we've already kind of done that with Iraq, what has happened in that region? And for my listeners that don't know, Syria is really one of the places where ancient Christianity stems from. I mean, it's some of the most important early sites of the faith were there, and this was all pre-ISIS, of course. But what's the condition now that the U.S. is on its way out?
Right. Well, the good news is, of course, that ISIS, to one degree or another, has been and is being defeated. So you have, at least at a geopolitical or military level, that ISIS does not control the territory that they once did. A lot of that territory, the northern part of Syria and Iraq, is where the Christian communities have been established, as you said, Kevin, over centuries. The cradle of the Middle East, the cradle of civilization, the birthplace of Christianity, the home of the oldest Christian communities, the only areas in the world where they still speak the language of Jesus, Aramaic, and those communities are dwindling. So you have... just some months ago in September, the Middle Eastern Christians begging the UN to recognize genocide of Syrian and Iraqi Christians. So we're praying that the UN would recognize that, because that would allow for some more aid to go into those communities. So you do have some Christians that are going back. You know, they've been displaced. 75% of the Christians in Iraq have been internally displaced. They're living in refugee camps. They fled the country. And so some of them have trickled back into their home communities in northern Iraq and Syria. But the problem is there's no electricity. There's no clean water. There's no infrastructure. It's all been destroyed. So there again, we're on the ground. We're helping to provide clean water for Christians and help them get set up back in their villages again. But they are concerned. They're afraid that, you know, even if ISIS has been defeated somewhat militarily, that ideology is still in the hearts and minds of many of the people that have been brainwashed into that Islamist ideology.
Yeah.
So there still is insecurity for Christians there. We need to pray for them. We need to stand up. We need to write to our members of the government to be able to say, look, let's protect the Christians of the Middle East. Because right now, I mean, the numbers have dwindled. We're basically looking at within a few years' time, there could be basically no Christians left in Iraq or Syria because they're all gonna flee or be killed.
Let's tiptoe just across the border to Iran. What's the picture there like?
Well, there has been an uptick in persecution in Iran as well. You know, since the Iranian Islamist revolution in the 70s, Christianity has been rapidly growing, and that's been a threat to the regime. But at Christmas time, we got reports of hundreds of Christians that were being arrested during the Christmas season. And so church leaders in Iran are concerned that the level of persecution that they've been facing just in the last weeks has been at a scale that they've never seen before. So, we need to stand on behalf of our Iranian brothers and sisters as well.
Yeah. One report I saw said that it's unprecedented, and mm-hmm. we don't hear a lot about that. And, you know, again, geopolitics plays a lot into this. And, you know, the fact that the U.S. withdrew from the Iran deal, which I think was responsible policy on our part, but it was not well received by the leadership in Iran. And I just wonder if some of this is a retaliation against the West in general, and they know that Christians are particularly mm-hmm. vulnerable because they're not particularly militant. You know, they're armed mm-hmm. with their Bibles for Bible study instead of, you know, guns and rocket launchers, which is what we end up getting in the reverse when terrorists come here. But let's talk a little bit about a nation that was created expressly to help protect Christians, and that is the nation of South Sudan. I have worked for many, many years with the effort to liberate slaves from northern Sudan. But what does it really look like on the ground there? Are slaves coming home? Are we being successful with those liberation efforts?
Yes, Kevin. Yes, absolutely. And here's some really great news that it is happening. And we do thank you for being a voice for the South Sudanese enslaved and for your audience, which has been, they've been so generous in helping free people from slavery in Sudan and repatriating them to their home communities in the South. So some good news to share here. As a matter of fact, right now, our project manager, Franco Majoke, is on the ground. He's very busy. I was trying to reach him yesterday to get just the updated report about how we're hoping to free 300 to 400 South Sudanese from slavery in the country of Sudan. So as you know, and you've shared this with your listeners, we go in with a slave retrieval team, someone from that Arab Muslim community who negotiates with the slave owners and frees the slaves 300 to 400 at a time. And they walk back overnight to remain safe because they could be recaptured by other militia groups in the area. There's no security, Darfur area. And we bring them back home, and what a great celebration it is when they are reunited with their families, some of them that they've not seen, their parents, their siblings for 15 or 20 years. And we have this wonderful celebration, and we want to just express our deep gratitude to your listeners that have been so directly involved in this, that every single precious South Sudanese that have been freed. It's just it's a wonderful thing to celebrate. So some really great news there. Of course, there are tens of thousands minimum that are still enslaved in Sudan. And again, CSI is the only organization that is helping free these people together with your efforts, Kevin, in letting this news get out that these liberation efforts are on the way. And this week, 300 to 400 more are going to be freed, thanks to generous people that are helping out with this, this intervention.
That's just so joyful to my heart. And I just am excited about that in a big time way, because I know that those lives are just in many ways just starting to come back. You know, they've lived such a debilitated existence while in slavery. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It warms the cockles of my heart to hear that they're able to do that. So here's what we want to do, friend. I want to every so often just be checking in with Joel and John and giving you a snapshot of where people are being persecuted, so that you can do a couple of things. You can pray. You can consider giving a gift. You can tell other people And in doing all of this, we will do a great amount of good, because in spreading the word and raising awareness, more people can be recruited to become prayer partners, and to those that want to help financially as well. CSI-USA.org is the website, CSI-USA.org. You can also find a direct link from my website, TheBingeThinker.com, for more info. Joel Vanderspeck, thanks for your efforts, and thanks for keeping us informed.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you so much for being a voice for the persecuted and for the enslaved. We really appreciate that.
When I look at what blessings I have in my life, I don't know how I could not be. So that's the answer to that. Friends, Kevin McCullough, we'll do this again real soon. It's the latest update on where people are being persecuted for their faith. And come back to Kevin McCullough Radio for more of them as we continue.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.